paper 21, novation of derivatives.
In November 2012, we received a request from the submitter. And this issue is whether an entity should discontinue hedge accounting for hedging relationships in which an OTC derivative is designated as hedging instrument when the OTC derivative is novated to a central counterparty in accordance with a new legislation. And we examined the derecognition requirement in IS 39 because this is because if the derivative which was designated a hedging instrument is required to be derecognized as a result of the novation to CCP, hedge accounting shall be discontinued as the hedging instrument in the existing hedge relationship no longer exists. And we came up with view A and view B. And view A is the novation meets the derecognition requirements, and view B is that the novation does not meet the derecognition requirements. And we support view A, as you see in the step analysis. However, we think that view B can also be argued because the other terms and conditions remain same except the change of counterparty. So some would argue that the novation should not lead to derecognition of the existing contracts.
Although we say it could be argued, we don't agree with it. So we do support only view A.
So and then let me briefly update on outreach results because when this paper was posted, the outreach request was still outstanding. We received certain responses from national standard setters and four responses from regulators. And among the certain respondents, six nations said that they already adopted the similar laws or is expected, a similar law is expected to be effective. And among these countries, four countries supported that it should be continued, the hedge accounting should be continued, and two countries said that the hedge accounting should be discontinued. And three countries responded that there would be diversity in practice. So based on step analysis, we recommend that the standard is clear enough because when these derivatives are novated to a central counterparty under new regulation, the existing OTC derivatives should be derecognized. Consequently, an entity shall discontinue hedge accounting in which that OTC derivatives are designated as a hedging instrument. However, we also consider the possibility that the interpretation committee may wish to recommend that the ISB make a narrow scope amendment to provide a limited exception to existing hedge accounting requirements. So our questions to the interpretation committees are that does the interpretation committee agree with step analysis? And second question is, does the interpretation committee want to recommend to the ISB that a narrow scope exception should be made to IS 39 to permit a legislative novation to be deemed to be a continuation of the existing hedge relationships? Thank you.
Okay, let's take these one at a time. The first question being, do you believe that this is a derecognition event, which is the staff's analysis? Comments, reactions? Scott?
Yes, I think it is a derecognition event. The counterparty is an important part of the financial instrument, and I think a different counterparty is a different financial instrument.
Sean?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, pushed the wrong button.
Yeah, I agree with the technical analysis. I think this is the answer of our estimate.
Guido?
Yes, even though, yeah. Unfortunately, it is the right answer, yes.
Okay, I don't see any objections, so that we say it is a derecognition event.
Excuse me.
Laurence, you're going to object or add?
Do we have to say it is a derecognition? Or can we just move directly to the next question, recommending to the ISB to go on and make some amendments?
Well, I think that's the third question, and I don't think we should jump there. The first question is, do you believe that, in part as a consequence of your previous decision, that you have to discontinue hedge accounting and, again, pass through whatever requirements you'd have to restart hedge accounting? Do I see any objections on that?
But do we have to say it loudly at the moment? That's my...
When the literature is clear, we should
say the literature is clear.
Yeah.
It's not something we should shy away from.
Yeah, I'm tempted to say, since we weren't willing to say that a debit can't be revenue, that...
some of us were willing to say that.
But I think... The view of the committee is clear that the literature says if you have to derecognize the instrument, you have to discontinue hedge accounting and restart. Then, that being said, does the committee believe that the board should create some kind of an exception when the substitution of the counterparty is mandated by legislation? Scott?
Yeah, I would... This is one where I would recommend that somebody, whether it be us or the board, whoever has the power to give an exception, should do so. I would not try to draft the exception, frankly, in a principled-based or general way. I would say, with respect to this legislation, we're not going to require you to de-designate and redesignate and go through all the hoops, we will accept continuing the hedge accounting relationship.
Since the derivative would already have been at fair value, derecognition should not create any other gain and loss that isn't already in the financials.
Well, the fair value might change.
Because the credit risk is changing.
Right.
Oh, because of the change in credit risk, certainly. But,
yeah.
But none of the, if it's an interest rate swap, none of the other terms that would influence fair value would change, except for credit risk.
That's certainly my understanding of the legislation. If the legislation actually changes other terms of the derivative, then I'm not sure I want to grant an exception. But
that would be self-evident. Yeah.
Yeah.
Joanna, then Sandy, then Andrew.
I think I support asking the ISB to make some change. But I think I disagree with Scott in terms of saying make it absolutely specific to this legislation, because, and the comment that Guido made about, unfortunately, the literature is clear, and Laurence's comments and mine as well, that, and I would like to do it on a principle basis, because I think the principle, when you it is novated through no fault of yours, and I know we had the Greek bonds, which arguably were no fault of yours, but to me they are different. But if it is novated and the terms are basically the same, even if, you know, a bank got taken over, so you had something with, you know, so that even though it's not legislation, so to me it's the principle, if your hedging relationship fundamentally continues, i.e. it is novated, I would rather do a principle than a, and I mean, as you said in the outreach, there are others whose jurisdictions are doing this. So if we just do it for this particular one in Europe, that's a real problem, I think. I think that is selective accounting for a particular jurisdiction. So I would rather go, if we possibly can, more principled than just that one exception.
I forget from the paper, the standard setters who responded that this was in their jurisdiction, were any of those outside of Europe?
Yes, there was a...
Okay. The United States would be one, I guess.
The central clearinghouse stuff is okay.
Can I just check something? Joanna, you suggested, or what you were saying suggested, like you would make it much broader to any novation. Is that right?
I guess why, in principle, is it any different that it is legislated or regulated around a central clearinghouse versus a one bank is taken over by another bank and it is novated? Now, Laurence, I mean, in that... I'm trying to find the distinction. Where is the line between we'll let you do it if it's novated or we won't let you do it?
And is if there's an element of choice or...
If there's an element of choice, absolutely, from the point of view of the person who holds the derivative, I absolutely agree it shouldn't be. So you, it's not... If you have an option... You shouldn't be able to do it, but if effectively it is forced on you by somebody else's actions, then why should it be different between whether it's a government's actions or whether it is a third-party private sector action?
Okay, I've lost track of the sequence, so we're just going to go John, Sandy, Andrew, John, Laurence, Scott, and then... Oh, Scott's off. Laurence, and then we'll go back to the phone. Sean.
Well, I had essentially the same comment as Joanna. I'm not going to open up a very big can of worms. My preference would be that it be kind of principle-based, and the principle is, but there's no substantive change.
Then the head relationship could be retained. Of course, I'm not champion of putting words together, but that would be the principle. Again, I'm not sure if we are opening a can of worms with that. So subject to, not delaying too much this the resolution of this issue, because I think it's pretty urgent. I'd rather go with a principle, which is the reason why we accept anyhow this situation, which is that there is no significant change in the relationship.
Yeah, I guess the only exception I would take, I think, some of the people on the financial instruments team believe that the mere fact of substitution is a significant change in the relationship. It's not a significant change in the hedging relationship, potentially. I'd make that distinction. But Sandy?
I was just going to say that I agree with the staff's analysis. You know, I do think there are probably some measurement difference at the date when they go on the exchange because the credit risk is going to change. But I would think that users wouldn't want a different answer across the globe. So I was curious about the letter that says what the SEC has said, or it's hearsay, I guess. I'm curious as to, I didn't think the designation requirements were very different in the, or the de-designation requirements in the U.S. were very different. But I think that, you know, just asking around some of my colleagues, would they want it to be the same? The answer was absolutely they want it to be the same.
You want to respond, Julie?
Well, I was going to interject anyway, but the only thing I would say about the letter is I'd focus on, talks about not object to a conclusion for accounting purposes. So it's not speaking to... in my opinion, it's not speaking to legally what happens, and it's an application of GAAP in the view of the chief accountant, the former chief accountant, for this situation. So it focused more on the hedge piece of it. It doesn't contain, you know, an actual specific point of view about derecognition or not.
Right.
It sort of
skips over that and concludes that.
Yeah, and I don't want to speak for either the old chief accountant or the current chief accountant in that regard, but I can certainly relay back that maybe that's a question that
is
in people's mind,
right,
which the letter doesn't speak to.
Right, because not objecting is not the same thing as interpreting, or, and I think that, you know.
Right, and it does focus on the hedge piece.
Consistency of decision, looking at different companies across the globe for the same reason is important.
Andrew?
Just to say that I come back to your original question. Yeah, I do support doing something to fix it, because the de-designation answer is not a good one in these circumstances, especially given what I understand anyway to be a de facto concession in the US. It would seem most unhelpful to have a different answer under IFRS, but we need whatever needs to be done. Obviously, it's reasonably urgent. So.
But I guess I'd say one thing on the de facto concession. I mean, I just don't want people to apply it differently in objecting versus not objecting and choosing to do it or not choosing to do it.
I think Julie, as is common with her people, was very, very careful and specific in her language. So I would not say that she would agree with the characterization that there was a concession. But I think we've put it on the spot enough. John?
I agree with the technical analysis, and I also think something should be done. But I'm concerned at the idea of, while I like the idea of doing something on principle, I'm not quite sure where that takes us and what that opens up. Some of the suggestions that Joanna had about, any type of novation, and it's in substance the same, means you can just continue, really concerns me, because we did have a lot of debate on the issue of Greek bonds. And I think it's quite clear that if you have a different instrument, you have a different instrument, and you know, just because you're forced to novate it by some circumstances, there can be lots of circumstances outside of legislation or regulation where you may have to novate an instrument. It doesn't seem to me that gives you some right to continue to account for that as if it was the original instrument. So I would prefer, even though I generally would prefer a principle in this situation, I prefer a very specific exception to deal with this particular circumstances.
So you would phrase that in terms of compelled by legislation or something like that, so that we didn't just refer to Europe?
Yeah, I think it has to be broader than just dealing with a specific piece of legislation, but I think we would need to carefully consider what other possibilities we were opening up by creating some form of, this is in substance the same instrument, so you can ignore the accounting.
Vincent?
Just to support what I already said, that for Europe, at least we would support a narrow scope amendment to IS 39 for to get a level playing field with the US. And I guess that this kind of legislation is not only European. I guess that there is a global tendency to go to more central counterparty. So I guess this is not only European issue.
Okay, coming on around, Laurence, Charlotte, Scott, and then I'm hearing we're pretty much in raging agreement here. So, Laurence?
Yeah, I expressed support for doing an amendment. At the moment, I'm more in the camp of a limited exception just to deal with the issue that has been raised. To us, at the moment, I don't have sufficient elements to conclude whether we should expand or not. I know it's a very urgent issue. So I prefer to deal with this very urgent issue in a limited area, in a limited scope.
Charlotte?
I disagree with what Laurence is saying. I would support doing the narrow scope because I don't know the implications of making it any wider. I think you could capture things that are in the contracts rather than, forced by legislation. My understanding of what it's worth is the SEC statement was seen as an exception to GAAP that was needed in order to get there. But
Scott?
Yeah, I obviously misspoke when I said tailor it just to the European legislation. That was poor wording. It should be to all of the pieces of legislation that are going on. But one of the reasons why I don't think we ought to look for a principle and try to go farther is because I think this has to be done quick. And in order to figure out, what the consequences are of any principle that we might try to explain, I think it would delay things. In addition, I'm not sure that we can really figure out what the principle is. And one of the things that convinces me that exception should be required here is that both sides to this derivative are forced to novate and will be in the same position. I mean, if you just novate one side, it doesn't seem like it's the same thing to me. So I really think we should go the narrow route, take care of our problem, and move on.
Okay. Joanna, last call.
But Scott, to me, has just given me the principle that it is both sides are forced to novate, in which case that is a principle. And I'm comfortable that that is a narrow principle.
Guido, you want to come in?
Yes. I have a problem with the ISB doing something like the SEC does because I think IFRS are principle-based, and as I think Scott pointed out or somebody else at the SEC, and I don't know whether they did it in their role as regulator, made this exception. So my first view was, why doesn't ESMA do it? Just saying that under the circumstances, we would allow not derecognizing derivative. On the other hand, I'm not sure what the result then would be on the auditor's opinion, because at the end of the day, we would probably still have to say it's not in accordance with the IFRS if the ISB doesn't make an exception. So having said that, I'm more in the camp of having a more general principle-based change. And I was looking at the paper of the staff in paragraph 30. They talk about something that is in the standard already, that if in your documentation you have such a replacement or rollover of one of the counterparts, for instance, for derivatives, that would not lead to derecognition of or cancellation of the hedge accounting, which seems to imply to me that what the standard wants to say is, well, if it's a free decision that you will roll over, it's not a problem, even if you novate. So that seems to me that maybe we could pick up this, add another sentence there saying that, okay, if it's forced upon you, then it's not a free decision that you made afterwards, and that's then also, it would also be acceptable that you would not cancel hedge accounting. Now, I agree with some of the comments that it's probably hard to distinguish when is it forced upon me. It's probably easy when a regulator comes or government or a law is imposed on you. I think Joanna brought up the example with a business combination where I'm bought by somebody else and that triggers the innovation. But on the other hand, I could also say if somebody buys my business or my company, it's not forced upon me. There have also be two sides, one making the offer, the other one accepting the offer. So I would not say that a business combination is actually something that is forced upon me. So I would restrict that principle-based change to something that is imposed on me by either government, law, or regulator also. And I think that would be the best way forward. I mean, because I really have a problem with the ISB making this very specific narrow exceptions every time something pops up that, you know, results in an accounting which is counterintuitive.
Okay, I really want to wrap this. So Philippe, Laurence, and we're going to quit.
A quick remark about the scope, territorial scope. Today is an EU problem, Emir, but tomorrow is very likely to become new legislation in many jurisdictions because under the G20 framework and the work undertaken by IOSCO, this change from OTC to clearinghouse is likely to take place in many parts of the world in a relatively short future. So I think that by addressing the current EU problem, we're also doing a service to many other jurisdictions.
Well, there's no question about that, Philippe. Laurence, last call.
Yeah, it was just in reaction to Guido's comment about why ESMA cannot do something similar to what SEC did. The very difference is that SEC sets US GAAP, as far as I understand, whereas ESMA has no authority to set IFRS.
Again, I think it's inappropriate for us to put words in the SEC's mouth. They issued a no action letter, as I understand it, which is significantly different than a staff accounting bulletin or an accounting series release or any of the other quasi-standard setting things they could have done. So let's not mischaracterize what the SEC did. I don't think that's fair. The sense of the committee is that you want to carry us to carry a recommendation to the board. The sense is that it ought to be not too hot, not too cold, just right. That what we want is, I think there were some key elements identified in the conversation. One is legislative or regulatory compulsion. Another is that both counterparties have to novate, not just one. And I'm sure that around the board table, people will come up with other things. I'm not hung up on whether that's a principle or a rule. It's an exception. So do I hear any objection to us carrying that recommendation to the board and also telling them this one has to be done quickly? So this is not one we want you to spend 6 months on. Okay?
And we don't want you to kick it back to us either.
I think that's inherent because we've already told them, with, and that's why I went through the first two decisions, that we can't do anything with this other than to try and craft and slow down the process. So, yeah, well, I think we've suggested the elements of the language. So, okay, Juan, are we done?
Yes.
Okay, Barbara, come on down.